Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Screenworks Entertainment Internet Radio. Vivian Louise Sharp, media personality, presents Shooting the Breeze, featuring potpourri topics of life. Song Just Wanna Fly, featuring Vivian Louise Sharp, music by New Maniac producer. This is a Sharp Paradigm Entertainment production.
Insane, they say this life is pain. Recognize you can throw it down the drain. Letting go ain't something you just obtain. It kinda takes a toll. When you look inside from within, think about it, would you do this all again?
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze with Vivian Louise Sharp, courtesy of Screenworks Entertainment and Sharp Paragon Entertainment Production. We're coming to you today live from Cleveland, Ohio, and we have a special guest on the line, Mr. Alex Michaels of Preclude Cinema. Mr. Michaels, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Wonderful. Yes, yes. You're live on the internet around the world on Screenworks Entertainment Network. And Sharp Paragon Entertainment is me. And we just heard New Maniac in the new song called Want to Fly, featuring Vivian L. Sharp. Now that we got that out of the way, Mr. Michaels, tell me a little bit about the name of your company and why you exist.
It's just called Prelude 2 Cinema, P-R-E-L-U-D, the number 2 Cinema. I meant the word. It's,
yes.
We're kind of based on the old Hollywood studio system where you would create the stars and make the movies and get the stories out there. And like right now, we're actually able to do that. So we're able to produce movies, shoot them, and get them out to people all over the world.
And how long have you been established, and what made you start a company? I think you just said that, but how long have you been established?
God, I love that.
What year did you set it up?
Actually, credit to some of the websites started in 1999.
So
it's like about, oh God, we're like 20 years old now. Yes, it's been a while.
Wow, that's wonderful. Do you do the shooting and you have partners? And tell me a little bit about how your operation works.
Well, I basically started out as a writer. I just wanted to write stories and I wanted other people to produce them. So back in the 90s, I met a great guy named Robert Banks Jr., who's a filmmaker, and he actually shoots some real film. And so we were supposed to do this movie. It was called The Romance of Being Razor Sharp, a little interracial little love story. And the guy, and I was just writing the story, and the guy who was supposed to direct it, he drew these storyboards, which are the pictures of the movie. And then he dropped out, so I didn't want to let the project die, so I stepped in as director, and that's how I became directing stuff. And I also decided to do it as a play, which I changed and renamed to Hot Rain. And even though I'm into movies, the reason why there's a play, because we have a great theater community here, and I studied, you know, playwriting in different places, and I did a play, and I staged at Caramu. And so I have a lot of partners, like, so flash forward to now. I have a lot of partners who I work with right now. I'm working with a guy named Joseph Pledger, because movie making is more than just one person. You have to have a team of people, you know. And so some projects I might just be the writer, or some I'm just the producer, or I'm behind the scenes. And I have a friend of mine, Francesca DiGiantonio, who is the new chief executive officer of the company. You know, just came aboard, and he's actually handling the business side of things, you know. So it's a whole team of, you know, people, just not me doing things and stuff, which is how it's supposed to be in the studio.
Yes. What would you like to tell me about your main purpose? The one thing that I would say would be your passion for your company.
Well, I have an Emmy Award for a movie that I wrote called What's Angels Fear? And that was about, so that was 7 years ago. Anyway, it was the idea about these two cops, and they get caught in this crossfire between cops and drug dealers. And there's this police lieutenant, Lieutenant Foster, who is kind of like the Old Testament kind of person who believes in the eye for an eye, and he's very ruthless, but he's also very spiritual at the same time, you know. But again, very ruthless. He will kill, okay? And he like, you know, he's actually been in a number of different my stories, and right now we're not able to shoot, so I actually put the books of What Angels Fear, the screenplay, out on Amazon. So if you go to Trailer Cinema website, it's PRELD, the number 2 cinema. You can see the books for What Angels Fear, and also the TV show that we were shooting, Out of Darkness Cleveland, which includes Lucinda Foster, but that's a different little TV show, and it features a Latina, a female police officer who's fighting against crime, and his little sci-fi angle to it, because when she goes to sleep, she turns to a shadow and devours bad guys. So we actually shot that about some years back, and we're doing a reboot of it right now. And we were shooting parts of different episodes. And what happened is, you know, where everything shut down. So we got enough footage to kind of piece together some of the episodes, but we haven't been able to piece together everything. So I'm hoping that in the summer we can shoot again and finish up some of the episodes. But in the meanwhile, as they say, the show must go on, which is why we put these stories out on Amazon so that people are able to read the original screenplays and see the storyboards, which is the comic book version of the movie. And there's another story, The Darkest Night in Heaven, which is a kind of a crime thriller story, which I wrote, which includes Tim Foster again. And that's out. And we're working with the new Joseph Pleasure. He's has a cool. It's called Achieve Historical Appreciation, and it's about showing black voices and very strong black voices, and even science fiction stuff with black people and stuff, you know. So there's a comic book that we have from him that we put out here because we own a piece of his company. So our thing behind Present Cinema is starving artists to working artists, so we're able to give other artists a platform for their work, and at the same time we handle the business affairs of the artist. A friend of mine, Eric Farkas, he wants to start a film company, so I just like set up his LLC, limited liability company, for him, and we're going to set up a website and put out some logos and helping him with the business side of his company so that he can focus on being an artist. So that's a nutshell what we're doing right now. It's a lot.
Yes.
Keep busy while things are things are shut down. You know, we're still out there doing things.
Yes, with the way it is now, and the budget, and what drives a big company like yourself, how do you stay inspired? I mean, what do you read? I want to get to the personal part of you, the owner. What do you read or be inspired or study that someone else in your shoes, trying to get in your shoes, a young person starting out, what would you advise them to do to inspire them?
Well, I think it has to go more than inspiration, okay, because I've been doing this for a long time and such, and I actually work with a lot of young people, and a lot of people look at entertainment, show business, like Prince of my, we're a small little company, although we look bigger than we are and stuff, you know, but, you know, juggling budgets and the money and stuff and everything. And a lot of people with entertainment, they look at the glitz and the glamour and stuff. They don't look at doing business plans or making income projections or meeting with investors and such. And as far as what keeps us inspired is that we're a family company, and I put my own personal money into this company. I've had other people put money into it. I've had people put time and effort into the company. So we're a corporation. So it's not just so much I'm inspired to do it. It's like we have a responsibility to our shareholders, people who invested money and stuff into the company. And so we have to keep things out there. Even when things are like going bad, we have to, you know, keep going. You know, it's like any other business right now with the things that are going on and the shutdown, other businesses have said, okay, well, we have to stay in business, you know, because we have people who have put money into this business and they aren't going to go like, oh, well, things are shut down, so you have to stop business. So we have that great responsibility to do that. And I would say one thing, too, I still watch filmmaking shows, but I watch more business shows, okay? Like this show called The Profit, with a guy, Marcus Lemonis, and he teaches about business structure and about he makes real deals and some go through and some don't go through. But I watch more business shows, you know. And like I said, if you have a company and you're taking money from people and you have people invest money into you, then you have that responsibility to keep the company going. You can't just like say, oh, well, things are rough, I got to stop. No, those people are going to be like, mm-mm.
That's true. You got to carry on. It's like having a job. You're the job owner.
It is a job. I said that's what the difference created. I know a lot of people over the years. I've met people who have made movies, and they were like passionate about the movie, and they wanted to make the movie, but they put their own money into it, or they put other people's money into it, and then the movie didn't go anywhere. And like, okay, I'm gonna stop, you know, and everything, and they stopped and went on this and else. But Prelude to Cinema is different. We're a business, we're a corporation, so you know, even though we have. Any of the money, something like a Disney has and stuff, you know, like people talk about, you know, Disney, how can they keep going and stuff, you know, and everything like that with theaters shut down. They have to keep going, you know? Yeah, they have investors, they have shareholders, and they have that responsibility. So we're the same kind of way. We have a responsibility, and we have to keep the doors open and do everything we can to bring in some money. But I'm actually happy to say that the books that we put on Amazon, which are really cool. They, you know, people have been reading them, and you know, we've been able to bring in a little bit of money, and so we're like working on getting more of our screenplays out there, and letting people know that, you know, that they can read about, you know, the stories that were written and stuff, and then we're working on getting, working with other filmmakers too, because there's some great filmmakers around the town that we want to work with and partner with because they have a great eye and they can shoot great things, you know. So we're looking to bring aboard more people to shoot our movies. Because like in the past, we haven't had the money to shoot movies and make them look good. And then the technology wasn't there either, you know. Like right now, you can shoot a movie with an iPhone and do special effects and it can look great. You know what I'm saying?
It looks great.
You know, years ago, you can do that. Yeah, you know, and it's incredible. How about like a camera, like years ago when we started like the first digital camera, we were shooting a film, and it was like the 90s and stuff. We bought like a camera for like $4,000, and now I can shoot stuff with my iPhone that is like that blows that camera away. And plus, the iPhone has a thing where you can edit too in it, you know. So we bought the camera for like $4,000 years ago, and then we had to buy the computer system for like more grand and buy like software for. So we spent like maybe $10,000 or more dollars. Camera, if you add the lights in, we probably spent like $20,000 on the camera, the lights, all the setup just to shoot and edit the movie. And now you can do all that with an iPhone that costs like about $1,000, you know what I'm saying? So it's like technology has like changed a lot too when you're able to do all these. Oh, then too, you can also, after you shoot the movie on the iPhone, you can like, you know, send it to YouTube and get it out all over the world. So, you know, so that's been the biggest thing too about able to not just shoot a movie, but actually get it to where the audience can see it.
Yes. Now, do you have what's the next step? Once you shoot the movie and it's ready to go, then do you reach for marketing, PR? I mean, how do you get it into the theaters and all of that? What's your next step that you could tell someone about?
Well, I would say you can't wait until you're finished with the movie. What you do first is, as soon as you start working on the movie, you put out a poster, you start going on Facebook and getting like your audience together, you start letting people know that the movie's come out. If you look at the Hollywood movies, and you can take, even though they have the big budgets and the money and stuff, they will promote a movie sometimes a year or so, or a year or more before the movie actually comes out. You know, independent filmmakers, they wait till the movie comes out. So every Hollywood movie, they're always promoting as early as they can about that movie. They're doing interview shows. They're talking about it. they're getting the people hyped up to see it, you know. So you can't wait till the movie's done to get it out there. You know, you have to, like, start when you commit to the movie, a thing called green light, where you approve the movie to be done. And then that's the time you start getting the movie out there, you know, and stuff, you know. And so that's the time when you want to let people know that, hey, we got this movie, and here's the Facebook. You start Facebook page for the movie, start Twitter. You get the actors involved to get out there. And as far as getting in the theaters, there's a weird little thing right now where the theaters are closed, are not open. So a lot of people are moving more toward getting things on Netflix and streaming. In fact, we're going to like work on trying to get some things on Amazon Prime and streaming. And hopefully the theaters go back to opening up. Actually, a friend of mine, and we might actually try to do this. They've been doing like the drive-in theaters are coming back. You know?
Yeah.
Because people can't get outside in their cars and stuff. So, you know, right now it's like people are doing drive-ins and stuff and everything, you know. So it's an interesting time. Like, I mean, I know movies will always survive in one way or another, but, you know, it's just like a little different avenue, you know, and stuff and everything. So now the drive-ins are coming back out, but then people are starting to get back out. But you guys want to keep safety in mind, too. You don't want to say, hey, we're just going to throw people in the theaters, even if it's not safe, you know. Safety is always more important than, you know, movies or anything or business and stuff, you know.
That's true. That's true. I was watching Dominic Farinacci. He's a trumpet player from Cleveland by way of New York, or New York by way of Cleveland. And he has what he calls a watch party, and they do it under Nighttown's place normally, but they can't go in there now. And I wonder, have you ever thought about doing anything? I think they do it on Zoom and on YouTube. Have you thought about have a prepay and people can donate as well? And he has a prepay, a thing that they can click on to, and they can donate. He's part of the Tri-C Jazz Festival. But it's one way the musicians are still keeping it alive with money coming in that way, too. Have you ever thought about doing anything on a national level with YouTube and Zoom with your movies?
Because
sometimes
people
get a car and go out to drive in.
Yeah. The interesting thing about YouTube right now, and I'm glad you brought that up and stuff, is that YouTube changed their guidelines for, you know, payout and stuff. You know, now it's like you have to have at least 1,000 subscribers to your YouTube channel, plus you have to have a number of hours viewed within a, you know, certain time, within 12 months or something. So YouTube has made it harder for people to actually make money. And my hat's off to the people at Nighttime and the musician you just mentioned stuff, you know, too. But sometimes, honestly, people do not like to pay for things to watch online, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things with the streaming networks and such, too. I think we'd better if you could get, like, something to Netflix and put it on their platform, or even Amazon. If you put something on Amazon, you can get paid from their platform, or get someone to license it. That would be better, too, where they pay you for the rights to put your stuff out there, because people, you know, people don't like to pay to watch things. There are too many things on YouTube free where people can watch, you know. And then with
YouTube, but I don't have to pay because I'm not selling anything, but I am giving out information that people can support me by donating if they like. YouTube, I don't pay.
Well, the one thing, too, is like having something physical. Like I said, right now we can talk about, I could go on YouTube and talk about movies and movie making stuff too, and do a free little thing. But also I can promote the books that we have to sell on Amazon. So, you know, there's like a balancing too, where sometimes you promote something free, or you do like a little free thing, but at the same time you have stuff to sell too. So I was thinking about doing that, where I'm going to go on do like a steady channel on YouTube, where I talk about the books that I've written in the screenplay and the process, because I'm an independent writer, and then also give people just tips free and everything too, and tell people, hey, you know, they can also buy the books if they want to see the story. So that way, although I won't make money from the video, you know, I will, you know, on the back end, you can make money if people want to buy the books. Because if you got a writer talking about how he creates stories and how he writes stories, then people might want to read the books that he's written. And so then they can go to Amazon and read the books. And I also think about doing a YouTube, like a book club, you know, where people buy the books, and then you can sit around and discuss the books and stuff. So, you know, I mean, when you have fans, you know, people, we don't, in our business plan, we don't call our the people who buy from Prayer to Summer, we don't call them customers, we call them fans. So it's like the relationship between the artist and their fan, where, you know, your fans know that you need money, you know, and so, but you have to create things for them. So if you, and sometimes you create things for your fans and you give them away free, you know, and then the fans say, okay, well, I'll buy something too to support you too, you know. So there's that kind of relationship where you have, where the fans know that you need money and you know that the fans want your art, you know. So, I mean, I like doing stuff for the fans too, but, you know, they, and if the fans are really supportive of what you do, they will buy things. You know, like I'm a fan of, like, you know, Spider-Man and Marvel and all those things. You know, so I go in the store and I'll see, like, some little toy of Marvel or something. I'll see a Spider-Man. They're like, okay, I'm going to buy that, you know, because I want to, you know, I like supporting, you know, things I like. People like, you know, but it's also having little tangible objects too. I think right now we're working on, we have to work on it again. We were going to the library and we're making T-shirts for our movies and stuff and everything. So we have to get that back up and running. And I have a friend of mine who she's working with some people who are on the rest, who are on the place, and they were, I won't go into too many details because she's still working out behind the scenes and stuff, but they're working on starting up a T-shirt company. You know, because we were able to make them at the library. The libraries are closed right now, so I want to get with her and start talking to her about having T-shirts. So, you know, people who are fans of our movies and our TV shows can actually buy, you know, T-shirts and have something, you know, from us and stuff, you know.
And right. Also, you can't just give up. You've got to find a way to make some money with your project now. So there has to be some creative thinking, of course. And the T-shirt idea is good if you can get out to people to get the product or put it on a website. I need to – it's 4:22, and we're going to be going off in a little while, but I need you to give your information so we can get it before we start to go off, and let them know how they can reach you. And also, if you have anything you would like to send them to a website, do that right now, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Okay, it's Prelude to Cinema, Prelude, the number 2, CINEMA, and there's information about the books that we have, and it's also we're supporting a charity. We're supporting the Cleveland Rape Crisis Center because we did a story that deals with, you know, victims of abuse and human trafficking and stuff, and so we're doing the charity on Facebook right now to support that. And the Prelude to Cinema website, Prelude, the number 2, Cinema, has all the information about Prelude to Cinema and a link to our Twitter page and Facebook page. And, you know, we just can connect with anything about us right there.
Okay. Now, is there a company number up there if they want to talk to you on the phone, or do you just do email on your website?
That's like that's like Facebook and stuff, you know. Phones would be kind of hard.
Yeah.
I'm a writer, right? I actually like writing letters to people and stuff, you know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, let's see what you would like to do after you get off this phone call. We're going to talk into your personal business, professional business. What would you like to do today at this late time? It's 4:24. What would you like to do to reach out to someone to inspire them to call you to contact you and look at your website right away? What would you like to say to them?
I like to say that Prelude to Cinema is about starving artists to working artists, and that at this time of crisis, that art is very important, and so we need to support all our artists and we also have sponsors who are small businesses like Lucy Sweet Surrender and everything, and we need to support the small businesses here. So, you know, and it's not just a point of like, you know, buying things because people make money, but small businesses, and Prejudice is a small business, they hire people and they create jobs and people are able to pay their rent and buy bills and take care of the medical things. But so remember to support small businesses.
Right, right. And let's see, I always like to ask this. It may not be something that is very important, but what would you like to say to a person listening, a young person? What would you like to say?
You have to be passionate about what you want to do. And even with like me being a writer, I study Hollywood and the way things are made. And so I know what the business is about. So don't jump into a business just because you want to make money. Of course, you have to make money and support yourself, but you have to have more than that. You have to be passionate about whatever you want to do in life. And it has to be more than just you want to make a dollar. You know what I'm saying? You have to be passionate about it because that's going to carry you through the rough times, you know, and everything, mm-hmm. you know. And so whatever you want to do, learn things about it. Even though the libraries are closed, libraries are one of the greatest sources of free information, too. And so I would tell people to look into that. And also, don't believe everything you read on the internet. I mean, go to like real sources of information when you're reading about something, and just, you know, and try to have fun in life, you know, because that's important too. Because, you know, what good is life if we're not having fun, you know? And have fun and take care of the people you love and stuff and everything, you know, because those are important things, you know.
Very important. This is and has been Shooting the Breeze with Alex Michaels. Filmmaker, is that what you call yourself, Michael? Filmmaker?
Film czar.
Film czar. Filmmaker czar.
Yeah.
And we're coming from out of the United States of America and Cleveland, Ohio area in the eastern part of the United States. And I'm Vivian Louise Sharp, and we'll be back again tomorrow at 4:00 with another interview for you to learn and to enjoy. And now I'm going to speak to my engineer and my CEO. Take it away.
Hello and welcome to Screenworks Entertainment Internet Radio. Vivian Louise Sharp, media personality, presents Shooting the Breeze, featuring potpourri topics of life. Song, Just Wanna Fly, featuring Vivian Louise Sharp. Music by New Maniac Producer. This is a Sharp Paragon Entertainment production.
Beyond the world we thought was only me and you. Won't fly.